Take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of what? Let me find my message here. The book of Colossians, where I'm starting out. Colossians. There's four books there. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. I remember them as General Electric Power Company. G for Galatians, Ephesians. That'll work, won't it? Try it, Tim. You find that in book flow. All right, going to be in Colossians chapter 3. In verse 17, and said, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Thanksgiving weekend. It says, whatever you do, you need to give thanks to God. Duh. We take everything for granted. We become an ungrateful people. My mama would say, you little ingrate. Nobody ever said that to your young'uns. I know at this age you wouldn't dare say that. But anyway, it says, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus, it says, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. My. You know, we've got so much going for us in this country, we don't realize the blessings that we have, and we don't realize the wonderful grace that God has bestowed upon everyone here. I was reading a fella the day before yesterday on a few Thanksgiving quotes, and I don't remember the fella's name, but he said this. The life that we live here in America, for most of you in here, maybe all of you in here, even with our hardships and so forth that we're going through, for most of us, to many in the rest of the world, would be a fairy tale. The life that we're so concerned about would be a fairy tale to a majority of this world's population that don't have anything near what we have in this country. Man, we ought to be thankful for some stuff. And it's easy to go on. We kind of forget the blessings we have. We're just always asking for more blessings. I want a newer car. I want a nicer home. I want to get me a new lawnmower. A new this, a new that. There's only three things we really need: food, shelter, and raiment. Bible said, in those things to be content. Most of us have a warm home to go to. We got warm clothes to wear. We got food in the refrigerator. Food, shelter, and clothes. Paul said this, said, not that I speak in respect of want, Philippians 4:11, for I have learned in what state I am therewith to be content. You know the problem with many of us today, we're never content. We're never satisfied. I told this church one time many years ago that I've got more money than Bill Gates. You know why? Because I've got enough. I've got enough. God has blessed me. I've got a nice car to drive. I've got a nice home to go to. I got wood in the fireplace burning warm. I got a freezer in the garage. I got food in it. Somebody brought me a good squirrel to eat yesterday. Kids, you say, ew, gross. But I'm looking forward to frying that squirrel. I better get off that subject here. But Titus, 1 Timothy 6:6, Paul said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be therewith content. Are we thankful for what we've got? Hebrews 13:5, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, I want to talk about three graces this morning from God. The one I preached on last year, I think at that Thanksgiving time, the grace of life. I want to talk about the grace of love. And thirdly, I want to talk about the grace of laughter. My fondest memories around the holidays were laughter, having good times with family and people that I love. The Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We learn to be content and happy with where we're at and just thank God every day. Thank him for everything. by Christ Jesus. Even our thanks need to be in the name of Jesus Christ, because he's the one that these blessings come from. You know, sometimes I'll ask somebody how they're doing. You probably know people who use this term, and they'll just say, "I'm just living the dream." Well, most of us really are compared to the rest of the world. We're living the dream. I don't care what you're going through today, you still have a life and have had a life that just beats all to pieces the rest of the world. So we need to be thankful. I remember Brother Richard Sandlin preached a message years ago, and he told a story about a little girl down in southeastern Kentucky. He said her mom was one cold winter night, and the wind would blow through those slats on those old houses. Anybody ever been there to have that? And a little snow pile up on the inside of the house, those slats. So that little girl was up there shivering up what we'd call an attic now, but that upper level. And said mama went up there and took a bunch of feed sacks and spread over that little girl. And said that little girl began to cry, and her mama said, "Honey," said, "why are you crying?" Says, "Mommy, I just got to thinking about all those little girls that don't have any feed sacks tonight." Hey, it can get that bad. Be thankful. Be thankful for what you've got. Thank you, precious Lord. God's been good to you. He's been good to me. I love that song. Man, didn't your mama used to sing that song, Tim? Man, I love that song. Thank you, precious Lord. He's given you the grace today of life. We shouldn't take it for granted and take it lightly. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:7, said that we are heirs together of the grace of life. Just to be alive. Just to be alive. Every breath in God's hands. He breathed in Adam's nostrils the breath of life. Colossians 1:17 says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." God gives you the life that you're living today. The Bible says in the beginning, you remember John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life." Our life is in him. He is the life giver. And the life was the light of men. Psalms 42:11, this verse came to my mind the other night. I'm walking that gravel road, bringing up my prayer requests and just trying to give God glory and asking him to forgive me how foolish I was and neglectful I was for everything that I should be doing, but perhaps I'm not. And this verse, I couldn't remember all of it, but I had most of it down. Psalms 42:11 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" You know, some of us, it's a tough time, the holidays. If you've lost loved ones, you've lost people that are close to you. We've lost quite a few this year. You're going through a battle. I had to bury my brother a couple months ago and his daughter a few months before that. It's kind of a sad, melancholy time. And the other night, I'm looking at the glory that God created in the heavens. And I know where a lot of those stars are. I walk those roads. I know where the belt of Orion is and that tail that always points due south. And I know how to find the North Star. That you watch that Big Dipper, and those two last stars in the bucket point to the Big Dipper or point to the North Star. And the Bible talks about God on the sides of the north. But anyway, I'm doing all that, and I got to, I just kind of down in the mouth and been in kind of a slump over burying people that I love and being around people with the sickness and the craziness, and you just get kind of sad and down. Now, Audra Cash, Lonnie's sister, she got diagnosed with cancer, and man, it looked bad. We're praying that it looks better. And you get down, you get out, and I'm walking down that road, and I got to looking back at all the blessings that I'd had and the many years of nothing but blessing and blessing from God, and this verse came to mind. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God." That's the part I remembered up to that point. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." God don't want you to be cast down. Look to God. Hope thou in God. Ecclesiastes 9:4, "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. If you're lying, but most of you look like you're about halfway there today, then you need to be thankful to God, for that's a grace of life. God has put life in you, and He's put life in you for a purpose. And we waste away so many moments, so many minutes, so many hours. Who is there? Some actor that just died. The Partridge Family? David Carradine. His daughter said the last words that he spoke to her. She's by him. He said, "I've wasted so many years." The grace of life. My mama loved life. She lived to be almost 97. And if there's any kind of halfway cure, she'd go take it. She'd go for it. Because she loved life. We let it pass by. We neglect to put those moments together and turn them into something joyful and something that glorifies God. David said this. He said in Ecclesiastes 9:10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do," or Solomon wrote this perhaps, "do it with thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Hey, if you're going to do it, you better be doing it now. Bob Jones Sr. said, "What you would be for God, you're now becoming." You don't have any guarantee you're going to be here for another Thanksgiving, another Christmas. Let's reap this thing called life. Turn it into something that will give glory to God. Be a blessing to your family. Be a blessing to someone. He's given us the grace of life. The Bible says in Psalms 118, verse 24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Don't have that old "woe is me" look on your face, because you may not be here tomorrow. I've told this story before about a bumper sticker I saw years ago. It said, "Cheer up, you'll be dead soon enough. Cheer up." Thank you. Thank you, God, for the grace of life. I'm happy to be here today. I'm happy to be here. Hey, not only should we be thankful for the grace of life, but we need to be thankful for the grace of love. Most of you, Thursday, around the table, surrounded by people that you love and people that love you. Man, be thankful for that. Man, I've run into people that just don't have anybody that loves them. Man, what a sad thing to live in a world without love. A guy called me from Westville Prison last night about 10:30 in the evening. And I picked up the phone and I got a little count so I can talk to a few of those prisoners from time to time. And he wanted me to call his brother, said, because none of his family would accept his calls. What a sad time in the holidays. I says, "Does anybody?" He said, "Nobody. Nobody. They just moved him up to Westville from Indianapolis, I think he was, before that. Nobody comes to see him. Nobody there that loves him." If you've got one person in this life today that loves you, you better thank God. That's a grace from God. That's a grace from God. Be thankful. You know, the Bible says about the last days over in Matthew 24:12. It says, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." We're living in a world today where you'll find less and less love. More and more criticism. Everyone worried about everyone else. No grace. It takes grace to love some people. You got to love them with grace. Some people that I know love me, I don't know how they put up with me. It takes grace. That love goes beyond the craziness. Some of you have kids that have put you through a bunch of craziness, and your love has to extend beyond the craziness. And that's a grace from God that you're able to love them in spite of their faults, in spite of their blight. I remember that word blight from the song, an old song, if I can think of it, Where's My Wandering Boy Tonight? It was in some of the old gospel song books. And Billy Sunday, the great evangelist that led probably 100,000 people to the Lord, he was on Van Buren Street out with his drinking buddies one night. And in Chicago, he played with the second base for the White Sox, considered the fastest man in baseball. And he's out with his drinking buddies in the Pacific Garden Mission Choir standing on the corner, and they're singing, Where's My Wandering Boy Tonight? And said, I remember the words of that song, Bring him to me with all his blight. She's wanting to see her boy. She's wanting to see that boy she loved. Even though all that blight in his life and all the craziness and the foolishness, she wanted to see her boy. The grace of love. You need to tell somebody, if you love them, why don't you tell them you love them? I'm not good at telling folks I love them. I'm kind of like James Brown. Pastor Brown said, when me and my sister Mary said, when we got married, I told her that I loved her. Said, if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. And that's kind of how my family's not real good at that. I'm getting a little better on it. But love, it's a wonderful thing, the grace of love. Song of Solomon 8 and verse 7 says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. For if a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly condemned. That's just a start. The grace and glory and beauty of love. You know, in Galatians 5:22, God defines godly love as being a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, but for the fruit of the Spirit is love. The first fruit mentioned. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But that first one is love. Proverbs 15:17. Bible says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. I'm afraid many of us, Christians included, have allowed allowed the devil to put a wedge between us and someone we love. And we're just too proud to go try to make it right. I had a relative one time said, oh, he's going to have to come to me. Went to church every Sunday. Oh, he's going to have to come to me. You got to let that love supersede all the betrayal, perhaps, the lies. Love extends beyond that. For God so loved the world. Look at his love. His love. He looked, I've been singing that song a few times here by myself. He looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs. He reached down and loved to me. That's my Lord. If we can learn that, that's a fruit of the Spirit. You have to be taught love. So where do you get that, preacher? Well, 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says this, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. You have to learn the godly way to love somebody. The grace of life. The grace of love. And I included this because it's been an important thing in my life. The grace of laughter. I've come from a family that finds humor in everything. I find humor in everything. I love to laugh. I do. And the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I remember I was feeling so down here. I remember a couple years ago and we had a gathering back at a cabin back behind my brother's house. And man, telling stories and I got to laughing so hard and just big belly. And I thought, man, that just about set me free, being able to laugh and enjoy the laughter. The grace of life, the grace of love, and the grace of laughter. The psalmist said this, Psalms 126:2, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. That's why those woodsman quartet, they get here, they bounce around singing and folks shouting. And if Tim's part of the group, there's going to be some laughing going on too. But that's health. That's health to your countenance. I'll lift you up. Nothing wrong with that. It says on the 23rd day, this second Chronicles 7:10, on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent people away to their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel's people. You know, I've never feared growing old. I don't fear growing old, and I'm pretty happy where I'm at. I've always been where I'm pretty happy right where I'm at age-wise. But what I do fear is a day when I can no longer laugh. Because laughter is a big part of my life. I love to laugh and see humor in things, and it just lifts me up. And we're all a mess. You know, you know what Satan's first problem was? Is he took himself too seriously. He took himself too seriously. Man, people see me and they say, man, I think he ought to be more pious and holy. That's not who I am. There's one holy. There's one reverend, and that's God. So I can't take myself too seriously. I take my Lord very seriously. But I'm not going to take myself too seriously. That's what started with Satan. He is so lifted up in himself. Never feared growing old, but I fear the day that I can no longer laugh. Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Some of you here have a broken spirit. Probably been a while since some of you have laughed. Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Man, on my side of the family, the Holt side of the family, really didn't see as much humor in things as the Gabbard side. To the Gabbard clan, boy, everything was funny. My Uncle Harley Gabbard was the funniest man I was ever around. Everything he said was funny. When he wasn't trying to be funny, he was funny. I remember seeing Johnny Carson one night, and a fellow there with him, I don't know who it was, asked him why that his last wife divorced him. He said, I guess I wasn't funny enough. You know, that didn't get... He said, I guess I wasn't funny enough. It's a tough crowd, Tim. Not going to get much of an offering out of this crowd. All right. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A lot of you are dried up because you can't laugh at anything. You're so bogged down with a bunch of foolishness that you can't laugh. Can't laugh at yourself. You look at a culture that cannot laugh at itself, and it's a depressed economy, a depressed culture, and people mad and sad and bad all the time. It's a grace of laughter. A fellow named Steve Brown said this, said if there is no laughter, Jesus has gone somewhere else. If there is no joy and freedom, it is not a church. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, the Bible says. It is simply a crowd of melancholy people basking in a religious neurosis. If there is no celebration, there is no real worship. Wow. Wow. I've never been able to take a man seriously who took himself too seriously. And we see that example, Satan lifted up. You know, my fondest memories in this life evolve around family, around friends that I loved, and around laughter. Life, love, and laughter. I thank God for that grace of laughter. And it's a glue many times that will keep folks together. Love and laughter. I thank God for the grace of life. Thank Him for the grace of love. I thank Him for the grace of laughter, of joy, and happiness. Do you have that this morning? Do you have the grace of life? This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. I'm not talking about life in this world. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. I'm talking about eternal life that is offered through the life giver, Jesus Christ. Do you have that grace? You know where you're going to go when you die? You know that you have life eternal in heaven with Christ? The Bible says in John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Have you experienced the grace of life? If not, you need to do that this morning. You need to step up and step out and say, I want eternal life. I want to give my life to God, and I'm tired of being down in the dumps and cast down and worried about this and worried about that. Give it to God. Maybe you'll have something that you can laugh about. Everybody stand up this morning. I'm done. But do you have that grace of life? Here in His love. Have you experienced the grace of love? The Bible says in 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I'm thankful today for life. I'm thankful for love, and I'm thankful for the joy and the laughter and the song in my heart for the glory of God. Are you thankful? I know you're going through a lot, but you look at some of those folks in those third world countries, you're living a fairy tale to them. Amen. Be thankful. God loves you. He's there for you. And He wants you to love others as He has loved you. That's hard to do. It's hard to do. I don't know that we ever quite make that. But the altar's open today. You're here today and you never trusted the life giver, Jesus Christ. You need to get that out of the way. Just say, Lord, I know I'm a mess. No, I'm a sinner. But Lord, I believe You're the Savior. I believe You're the Son of God like You said You was. And I'm stepping out the best way I know how. I'm going to trust You for salvation. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's the simplicity of Christ. As we sing, the altar's open.